We are continuing our series on a firm foundation, and we're looking at core values now. And we are in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. And so I invite you to follow along in your Bibles. And so Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says this: "For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at uniting in Christ this morning, one of our core values. And I want to start out with something a little humorous. I heard about this pastor and song leader. They were having some conflict, and it spilled over into the worship service. And one morning, the pastor got up and spoke about being willing to change, and the song leader got up and led the congregation to him, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The next week, this pastor spoke about being a giver, and so the song leader got up and led the congregation in, "Jesus Paid It All." The next week, the pastor got up and he talked about gossip and watching your tongue, and so the song leader got up and led the congregation in the old hymn, "I Love to Tell the Story." Finally, the pastor had just about enough of that, and he got up and said, "Jesus brought me here, and Jesus is taking me away." And the song leader got up and led the congregation in, "What a friend we have in Jesus." You know, churches are no strangers to conflict. Conflicts sometimes happen. Everyone is not going to agree about everything. But the truth is, if we put Christ at the center of all we do, then our lives and the church life will be so much better. And so this morning I want to think about one of our core values and invite you to reflect with me, because I believe that when we're uniting in Christ, that we keep Christ at the center, that we keep love as our connection, and when we do that, we experience God's blessing in a richer and fuller way. Let me ask you, where were you 60 years ago? Now, some of you weren't here, I know. And some of you probably wish you weren't born yet. Many of you have some great memories of that. But think about the 50s and 60s. 60 years ago this year, this church opened its doors for the first worship service. In 1957, the foundation was begun, and then in 1958, the building was completed, and then they had their opening celebration worship service. Imagine it. Now, some of you know the history of the church quite well, but I'd like to revisit it for just a moment, because that was a bold move in at least two ways. First of all, two churches were becoming one, and that's not always easy. And the second bold move is they were moving two downtown churches to become one church that was then on the edge of town. Now, that's hard to believe today, but that was on the outskirts of town back then. Now, they had some precedents for that bold move. On the one side, the German Evangelical Church and the German Reformed Church had united to become the German Evangelical and Reformed Church, which both of those churches were. And then at the same time, the Congregational Church and the Christian Church and the Eastern part of the United States had united together. And so the German E&R Church and the Congregational Christian Church were talking about uniting, and they did it in 1957. That gave some impetus for the churches to unite, those two churches, Salem and St. John, to become one and to name it Emmanuel United Church of Christ. And so they put aside the things that might divide, and they thought about the things that brought them together. Now, fast forward to 5 or 6 years ago, the church was revisiting its mission statement and core values, and three core values emerged as the central focus of the church. So uniting in Christ, listening to his word, and serving his world, which I think are great core values. And as we move in towards our celebration of our 60th anniversary, I'd like to think about those core values in the next 3 weeks. And so this morning we're looking at uniting in Christ. Now, if you think about that value of uniting in Christ for a moment, and you think about Jesus' words, not just Jesus' words, but Jesus' prayer that Mary Alice read earlier, I think that really comes close to our heart, doesn't it? I mean, think about these words for a moment. Jesus, before he was going to the cross, prayed not only for his strength and what he was about to do, but also for each of us. And his core prayer for us was that we would be strong and that we would be united. Listen to these words of Jesus. "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, the disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, which is all of us this morning, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Beautiful words in Jesus' prayer just before he was to give his life on Calvary, as he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Paul, as he's writing to the early church, which was struggling with unity as well, in Galatians writes to the church, and this, I think, is just a beautiful passage of Scripture. He writes this, "For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, have put on Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus," as if the clothing of Christ on us makes us all one in Christ, uniting in Christ. Unfortunately, through the centuries, the church universal has not always lived up to the prayer of Jesus or the challenge of Paul. Even in this day, as we think about great themes of grace and love and forgiveness and courage and service, we think about unity as well. And maybe, like me, you've maybe driven through a small town. In fact, I was taking a nice country drive yesterday, sort of a just beautiful fall day, and I was out in the country, and you know, come to a small town. There's no red light. There's no stop sign. There's only one gas station, yet there's seven churches, right? What do they need seven churches for, right? So... because I guess there's some things that divide us. But what if we were to think more about the things that unite us in Christ? I suppose it's because in many aspects, the church is a reflection of the broader culture in which we live. I mean, we live in a divided country. We live in a divided world in many ways. You think about the atmosphere right now as we move into election week, and it's like a zero-tolerance scenario in politics, is it not? I mean, you're either red or blue, you're either Democrat or Republican, and no one's really listening. And sometimes there's also the Libertarian and the Green Party. My daughter, some time ago, posted on Instagram that she was a member of the Pizza Party. At least we can agree on one thing, right? So we need more of that. But, you know, politics is part of who we are as a democratic society. And what we think makes a difference. And discussion is good, but when we demonize other people, that's not good. And it's not one side or the other, it's the whole environment in which we live, is it not today? But Jesus calls us into one faith, one life, one baptism. Our cornerstone, which I read every time I come in here, and I hope you do too, it says, "With Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." When we are uniting in Christ, we put Christ at our center of all we do. And the second thing is, we keep love as our connection. You know, when you look around the world today, you see so many people that are united by hate, and it's heartbreaking, is it not? I mean, I look at people struggling with issues of race, which are important issues, but they end up dividing rather than bringing us together. And you think about Charlottesville and Boston and Chicago, and you think of other times, and you think of other issues, but we think about what divides us rather than what unites us. And I read in social media the other day, I read this, and at first I was so repulsed by it, but then I thought, well, you know, there's some truth to it. And someone wrote that there's a new religion, which is politics, and there's a new belief, which is hate your neighbor. And I cringed when I read that, and my heart was broken by that. I don't really think it's entirely true at all, but there's enough truth to it that it hurts, I will tell you that. And my heart was broken, and I'm sure your heart was broken as well, as I heard the news of the people being slain at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh past week. And just so heartbreaking. We not only want freedom to worship as we want to worship, we want other people to have freedom to worship as they want to worship, whether they be Jewish or Muslim or whatever their faith is, and we need to support that. And many times today, social media has become like anti-social media. But I think Jesus would breathe into the situation and say that love is what connects us as a church. And love ought to be our defining characteristics as disciples of Christ. And I love what someone once said, and I like this, in essentials unity, in non-essentials diversity, but in all things charity. Charity, love that unites us together. Listen to Paul's words from Ephesians chapter 4, which we looked at not too long ago. And Paul writes this. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Love is what connects us. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. was fond of saying the only way to make an enemy a friend is through love. And I think that's true. And we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, ought to set the example, loving each other as well as loving those outside of our community. Because Jesus asked us not only to love our friends and our family, but our neighbors and even our enemies as well. Now, that doesn't mean that we agree on everything. That's never going to happen. Just like families don't agree on everything. And if you're anything like me, with Thanksgiving coming up, I don't know if your Thanksgiving dinner is like mine, but God forbid if politics comes up over the Thanksgiving dinner, right? Because we have everybody in our family from the far left to the far right and anything in between. And so when politics comes up at Thanksgiving, it's a disaster. But thank God we all believe in the Steelers. So someone will say, how about those Steelers? Because we're all from Pennsylvania. But let me say this, despite all the differences that we have, if something happens to a family member, if they get sick, if they're in financial distress, or someone else comes after them other than ourselves, I tell you what, the family jumps in and supports them. Why? Because despite all the differences, we love each other. And that's what we ought to be about as a family of faith. That's the thing that ought to pull us together. It's the love of Christ that connects us. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. It's love that connects us. So if we're united in Christ, we need to keep Christ at our center. We need to keep love as what connects us. And I think if we do that, we will experience some blessings that we would not experience otherwise. Now, I know in my own life, when I have sort of not stayed in my own corner of beliefs or whatever that is, and have ventured out and experienced the views of other people, I've experienced some blessings, and maybe you have too. And one of those blessings is to understand the perspective of somebody else. Now, when I get to know them and I get to know their story, I may not agree with their perspective, but all of a sudden I can see why they believe what it is they believe. And in seeing how they believe what they believe in the story, I can see that in larger perspective across the nation and sometimes even around the world. And I can appreciate the beauty and pieces of the puzzle of God's creation and humanity and all its multifacetedness. And so we get a blessing from different perspectives, and we can appreciate that. Another blessing is friends. Maybe you're like me, that sometimes you meet someone, you'd never think that they would be your friend, but over time they become friends. I was reflecting, maybe you saw the eSpy where I wrote about Halloween hospitality and how Wednesday when we welcomed so many people with different costumes, but they were from different neighborhoods. They were from, some of them from different countries. Someone as far away as from Pakistan had never been in a church before. And what a blessing as we sort of put aside the mask and even celebrated those for a moment and made new friends. And it was just a blessing. And what if the church was like that all the time, welcoming people and getting to know people and making new friends? You may have heard of Billy Graham and J.W. Marriott. And as you know, Billy Graham, of course, was a fiery, conservative, evangelical preacher. And J.W. Marriott, as you may know, was a Mormon. And Billy Graham once told some of his campaign people that were close to him that he wanted to meet J.W. Marriott. And they sort of pushed back from that because J.W. Marriott was a Mormon, and evangelicals and Mormons don't really do much together. And Billy Graham insisted, and so they finally set up a lunch, and Billy Graham had lunch with J.W. Marriott, and they continued to have lunch, and they became very, very close friends. In fact, when Billy Graham was traveling all over the world before Crusades, he would stay at a Marriott whenever a Marriott was available, and J.W. Marriott made it free for Billy Graham. In fact, in 1982, to the chagrin of some of his followers, Billy Graham got up at a prayer breakfast and said one of his very best friends in the world was J.W. Marriott. Now, Billy Graham never adopted some of the beliefs of the Mormons, but Billy Graham was blessed by that friendship with J.W. Marriott, and I'm sure J.W. Marriott was blessed by the friendship with Billy Graham. Where can you and I sort of pull out of our corner a little bit and build some bridges of friendship where we might not otherwise? And if we do that, I think that we'll experience some blessings. And I know in my own ministry, as I've gotten to know people, maybe they're Catholic or they're Baptist or, you know, whatever it is, different denomination of my own, I've come to experience some blessings and some appreciation that I wouldn't otherwise. I think when we do that, that we as a church of Jesus Christ will experience blessing of Christ's presence in a special way. And so in closing, Psalm 133:1 says this, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Take some time this morning to think about, and even in the coming days, about the prayer of Christ that we all may be one. And think about the challenge of Paul that Paul gave to us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And realize that there's one center in all of us, which is Jesus Christ. And if we're uniting in Christ and we keep Christ in the center, and if we keep love as the connection, that we'll experience blessings that we never would otherwise. I would close with this thought, which is that, and sometimes when I've been in a hurry to come to worship here, I have pulled my car in quickly in a different place than I normally park. Get out and look on one side and I see a Republican bumper sticker, and then on the other side and I see a Democratic bumper sticker, and I think to myself, well, maybe I should move my car in case these guys start talking, right? But then I think for a moment, isn't that good? Because we ought to be able to put aside, not completely our beliefs, but put aside our different parties and for a moment gather around the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to celebrate one loaf that brings us together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all. And so I challenge us as we celebrate these 60 years and look towards the next 60 that we remember that, uniting in Christ. And as we unite in Christ, we think about keeping Christ at the center. Love is our connection, and we will keep experiencing the blessing. And so now we will gather around the Lord's table shortly, and I want you to think about one family, one Lord, one loaf, one baptism, one God. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about how you gave your life on Calvary, and it was so important before that moment to pray, among other things, for our unity. Help us, Lord, to take that seriously and help us to recognize that we can hold to our beliefs, but we can hold to the center belief, the core of our being, the core of our church, which is you as our Lord and Savior. So help us to celebrate your presence in our lives. And Lord, help us to lean into your love and reach out to others in love through your power and to your glory. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.